2. Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 2. We give the effort to put an emphasis on prayer here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. We understand how very, very important it is. And so when we ask you to stand together in reverence to the Word of God as we read it, and we go to the throne of grace, asking God to add His blessing, His anointing to His Word, and of course the preaching of the Word of God, we're very serious about that. We don't take that lightly. Please stand with me as we make that statement in reverence to the Word of God. We're going to begin reading in this chapter in verse 14, where we read, "Of these things, put them in remembrance." Of course, Paul giving his young preacher friend Timothy instruction here. He says, "Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not by words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat at the canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that their resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor." The focus of our message this morning: "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Our Father, we bow before you, asking you that you would be pleased by your Holy Spirit to take charge of everything taking place in this room today. I'm asking you, Father, please, please give clarity of thought and the liberty, the freedom to declare exactly what you want us to hear today. I pray for every person present in this auditorium. Lord, you would conform the message in such a way that every one of our hearts would be dealt with. Lord, I pray for those who may be in this room today and are yet without Christ. Oh, Lord, I'm asking you, I plead with you in Jesus' name. We've sung of your Son this morning. We preach of Him. We're asking you, Father, to make Him real before every eye, every heart in this room today. Draw savingly to yourself, Lord, than those who have not that hope of eternity. And I pray, Father, every believer, we go from this place all the more in love with Jesus. For it is in His name, for His glory do we do pray. Amen and amen. And of course, you may be seated. Well, some weeks ago now, we began a series of messages that started with asking a few questions. Excuse me, please. With asking a few questions. Questions were, what is a Christian life really all about? What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be, say, a Christian? Why did Christ save us? Why did he save you if you're here this morning and know him? We mentioned the obvious answer to those questions is, of course, to deliver us from God's wrath for our sins. We understand from the scriptures that they tell us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, praise the Lord, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're thankful that he paid the wages, the price of our sin. We're grateful that sin no longer controls our life. And it's really the thrust of today's message, is dealing with that liberty, that freedom that we have being delivered from our sins. And thinking about that, how does that work out? How does that translate into how we live our daily lives for Christ? How does that play out, as we might say, in the nitty-gritty of the nasty here and now? We deal with it every day. Today's message, I guess, is the other side of the spiritual coin. We're grateful, we're thankful that Christ died for our sins. Thankful that he set us free indeed. But now that I'm saved, what does that mean? Title of this morning's message is Being an Honorable Vessel. An honorable vessel for the Lord's use. We see it in verse 21 of our passage where it says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor." Hallelujah. "Sanctified," or set apart, prepared, "and meet for the master's use, prepared for every good work." This area of our message, our series of messages, I should say, we see that being a channel of God's grace, and I pray that's what you desire to be, that being a channel of God's grace will mean being sanctified for his use. Sanctified, or the idea of the word is set apart. Huh? Set apart for him. Hallelujah, that when he saved us, he set us apart for his use. He set us apart to be honorable vessels for him. We read that verse a moment ago. Well, what is that verse saying? What is that verse saying? You know, I like to understand. I like to tear the passages apart, put them back together again, and try to understand what they're saying. As we read that word, it says, "If a man." That word "if" is a conditional word, isn't it? If a man, it's used when in speaking of something that is a possibility, a conditional word. And then he says, purge himself. If a man, purge himself. And the word simply means to cleanse, to be cleansed, to be purified, to be rid of things, certain things. Well, from these, well, we find in this passage, the Apostle Paul lays out some things that we need to deal with from these. And if again, that takes place, we may become vessels, honorable vessels for him. A vessel of honor unto him, and sanctified, as we said, separated, divided apart for God's use, for his glory, for his honor, meet for the master's use. Let me ask you, if you're saved here today, do you want to be something of value for God? An honorable vessel. As something, or a vessel that is honorable, usable for him. I do. Unfortunately, I sure mess up plenty. I sure fail in that. But I want to be used for his glory. I want to be a vessel of honor for him. And if that means, if it's required for me to be an honorable vessel, a vessel of honor for the Lord, if that means I need to get rid of some things out of my life, then so be it. I don't have any problem with that. So be it indeed. Paul points out some things in this passage. that we need to deal with, that need to be purged. If we would desire to be those vessels of honor for the Lord. Well, let's look at that. He says, purge these things. And the idea is get rid of them. If we go back to the gym, even today, there's the evidence still back there of how you all got rid of some things out of your, we'll just say your houses. That gym was so packed back there for the yard sale. Those tables were 2 feet deep in some places with things. And in fact, when we went home Friday night after being there all day for the yard, well, not yard, garage sale, like gym, whatever it is we had back there, I thought, what did we sell? The place is still full. We all rid some things, purged some things from our homes, and you might even say from our lives. And I noticed a lot of you took some more stuff back home afterwards. Purge these things, rid these things, so that you might be an honorable and useful vessel for the Lord. And he lists some things in these verses. We read in verses 16 down through 18, how we need to avoid wicked and useless talk. Isn't that interesting? Let me read that again. It says, but shun profane and vain babblings. As I get older, I think I babble more than I ever. But shun profane and I'll spit it out, and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as does a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now, we read those verses 16 through 18. But verse 15 sets this up. In verse 15, we're told to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul's challenging Timothy, be a student of the word of God. Be a student of the word of God. Of course, Timothy was a preacher, but that certainly holds true for every believer. Every Christian should have a desire to understand the Word of God, that you and I can grow in that grace and knowledge of Christ Jesus, as Peter put it. But then, with that said, as he challenges us to study the Word of God in order, again, that we might rightly divide it or understand it, then he says, those words we just read. But shun profane and vain babblings. Wow. In verse 17, the Apostle Paul gives us a specific warning there concerning two men. Their names were Hymenaeus and Philetus. Hymenaeus and Philetus. And if I looked up what their names mean, and if you went by their names, these two men would have been, you'd think that'd have been delightful. Hymenaeus means the singing man. I enjoyed the Sims family singing for us a moment ago. And Philetus means the beloved. But their heart and their agendas betrayed their names. Their agenda betrayed their names. They were teaching that the resurrection was past, that it had already taken place. And what they were saying is, if you're still around here, you missed it. I guess they did too. Sometimes your own teaching can come back to bite, huh? This false teaching crushed the faith of some, resulting in them being shipwrecked. They took away their hope of eternal life. If you haven't been resurrected, it's too late. You missed out. How sad. Paul says that their words, their teachings were like a canker. The idea of something that's gangrene. Something that's gangrene. We would use the word, the same word would be used to describe a cancer within the body that has metastasized and spread its destruction everywhere. We realize that once something has got to that point, once something is gangrene, or once that cancer is spread, there's nothing to do to remedy it. The only option is amputation. And then isn't it a sad thing when the best thing for a body is for one of its members to be amputated, to be removed? The medical researchers are always trying to help us understand what causes cancer. I still think they're guessing more than they know. But they're trying to help us understand the causes of cancer that attack our bodies. And if we do understand some of those things, if we're smart, what will we do? We'll avoid those things. We'll shun those things. If we would take that advice concerning temporal physical bodies, is it far, far more important to take Paul's warning concerning spiritual and eternal things? How much better to avoid such things before they cause damage? Oh my. Why? Is it so important to study the Word of God? Being a workman that needeth not to be ashamed? As we study the Word of God, when we hear false teaching, the flags point up. You don't always have to study the heretics in the world and the false teachings of the world. If you give yourself to the study of the truth, when the lies are revealed, the red flags will go up. That don't sound right. Drive us to the Word of God, that we would rightly divide whatever that thing is. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian believers, telling them about that day. When in the future that the trump would sound. The dead in Christ would rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall meet them in the air. We live with the blessed hope of that future resurrection. Life eternal. Why? How do we know? The Word of God tells us. Don't give in to profane and vain babbling. But he also tells us in this passage that we need to part ways with iniquity. Part ways with sin. In verse 19 it says this. Listen to this. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Now, we're built on nothing less than the truth of the Word of God. Here's the foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we learn of that truth right here in His Word. We go on and it says, nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. That's a two-sided sword, isn't it? Hallelujah. Jesus knows me. If you're saved, Jesus knows you. When you bow your head in prayer, you don't have to introduce yourself to Him. He knows you. He knows those that belong to Him. He knows those that His Son died for. But also, the other side of that is what? He knows those who are not His. He knows those that are still outside the camp. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And he goes on, he says, but in a great house. Is God's house great? Amen. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Part ways with iniquity. Those that are Christ, beloved, we're commanded here, depart from, be done with sin. Get away from sin. Now, how about that? No, that's not difficult to understand, is it? That's not, we don't have to go into a whole lot of interpretation for that. Get away from sin. I mean, do you claim to be saved? Do you profess the name? Do you name the name of Christ as yours? If you do, depart from iniquity. If you're saved, beloved, get this. If you are saved, you were saved from your sin. Not to continue in sin. I'm saved now. I don't have to worry about that. You might take a second thought on that. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith if you think you can continue in sin and God will just leave you alone. There's a big, big difference between professing Christ and possessing Christ. Jesus knows those that belong to Him. The professor is merely outward and it's just talk. While possessing Christ is an inward reality that impacts every part of our life. If you're saved, you know that the day you got saved, everything changed. And if it didn't, it should have. Oh my, those who are truly saved, they're secure in Christ. They belong to Him. The foundation, as we read here, the foundation in Christ is certain. It's secure. Christian, what are you building upon that foundation? That's the question. What are we building on the foundation that God gave us in Christ? Are you a vessel, as it describes here, a vessel of honor, useful to the Lord, or a vessel of dishonor and useless? Oh my. Part ways with iniquity. I like the way Paul puts some of these things. He also says to Timothy, flee youthful lusts. Flee youthful lust. We need to run from youthful desires. From childish desires. Childish things are to be laid aside. The kids are up in children's church. Childish things that are to be laid aside. And Paul gives a very good illustration in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. Paul makes this he makes this statement. When I was a child, believe it or not, young people, I was a child at one time. Quit that smiling, Dylan. I was a child once. When I was a child, Paul says, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But he's making a contrast here, isn't he? Between when he was a child and now. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. We expect children to be childish. We expect children to be childish. We expect them to be captivated by childish desires. We surely don't expect to see a grown man sitting over in the corner sucking his thumb. You know, when the grandkids come, I get down on the floor and play Legos. But when they're not around, I have no desire to drag them Legos out, Brother Bob. Huh? What Paul's talking about here is far more serious than what we could joke about. Paul warns his young friend Timothy to flee, to run away from those lusts of youth, those things that are childish. Flee those things and follow. He says, follow, pursue what? Righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. Charity or love. He says, I ask, as I share often with my Sunday school class and even in here, I often ask myself questions as I study. I try to pose to myself questions while I'm studying. So I'm asking us questions. All of us. I ask every one of us, what would some, now again, every one of us that name the name of Christ, every one of us that name the name of Jesus as our Savior, what would someone say after observing us, watching us? What would they say the focus of our life is? What makes brother or brother so-and-so tick? What's important to him? What's our sister giving her life to? Seems to me Paul's challenging us in that very thing. What is the spiritual value of what we're giving our efforts to? What's it going to matter in eternity? What we're so focused on. Now, we joke about this, but we joke about it, realizing that it's more true than we might want to admit. A lot of men are nothing more than little boys. You know the old saying that the only difference between the little boys and grown men is the price of their toys. And I'm sure that goes for ladies too. Hey, there's nothing wrong with having hobbies. Nothing wrong with, you know, there's things I like to do just as a diversion. Spend so many hours sitting in front of a computer screen and studying. And not that I don't love studying, but my brain needs to get put in a, I do have one, Brother Daniel. My brain needs to be put in a different gear once in a while. Nothing wrong with having their hobbies. But our hobbies shouldn't have us. They shouldn't possess us. Our hobbies shouldn't be the focus of our lives. God's Word says, there comes a time to put away the childish things. Run from childish desires, Paul says. You want to be useful to the Lord? Put away the childish desires. Then he goes on to say you need to avoid meaningless issues. Oh, preachers are bad at this. So wait till you hear this. Verse 23. He says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. We need to avoid meaningless issues. Oh, wow. It seems Paul didn't, as the theme of this passage goes, seems Paul didn't have much patience with people that were constantly fussing about meaningless stuff. Things that were not worth making an issue out of. And preachers are bad at this. Oftentimes get caught up in some issue and it begins to possess their life and possess their ministry. I was enjoying the music today. Jesus, singing about Jesus. Oh, song after song. Magnifying, lifting up that name that is above every name. Amen. We can't go wrong focusing on Him. Amen. Lord, help us to stay away from these meaningless questions and issues. I think it fits the context here. Of even how children react. I think it fits the context. How do children react to things that happen in their life? What happens when they don't get their way? I've seen what happens when my buddy Nikki, I'm always picking on Nikki. And of course, Natalie and Nathan, they're around the church during the week. And I enjoy picking. Nikki and I have this running thing about who gets to the church house first. If he gets there first, he meets me at the door just so he can tell me, I beat you, Pastor. I see him at their best, and sometimes I see him at their not so best. They can get brothers and sisters get fussed up about things when they don't get their way. Then we throw Lily in the mix, and she's just like one of the, another sister in the bunch. Get your hands off of mine. That's mine. Oh, controversies. We raised three daughters. No, we survived raising three daughters. And they, of course, as sisters do, have their times. And they'd be, you'd think the world was coming to an end. She's got my top on. I'd say, guess what? Third year of the millennium, you won't even think about it. We get the glory. What's it going to matter? I'm going to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Oh my. Avoid meaningless issues. I don't want to be cruel or insensitive, but the truth is, we need to keep the temporal things in perspective. We're going to leave it all behind. We get so worried, so fussed up about what's happening right now. It's all. Have you ever seen a hearse pull in a U-Haul? We're not going to take it with us, Brother David. No. Now, what happens when we allow trivial things to get the best of us? Paul tells us. Paul tells us that he uses the word gender strifes. Gender strife. It's the idea of the word to create. These meaningless issues don't do anything but create conflict. Create conflicts that do not need to be. Unnecessary conflicts and controversies. There's countless. Beloved, there are countless relationships amongst Christians that have been destroyed over something that didn't matter, the proverbial hill of beans. And beyond that, churches that have been destroyed about meaningless things. Who picked out those curtains. Did you notice the pianist missed a note? Not really. Huh. Crazy, isn't it? Get all fussed up about stuff that don't mean any. Avoid meaningless issues. Is that difficult? If we would just... keep our mouths shut sometimes. Lord, please. And then... one more. A quarrelsome spirit. A quarrelsome spirit. Listen to this. Verse 24. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, or taken captive by him at his will. Put away a quarrelsome spirit. Quarrelsome spirit. Unfortunately, I'm going to be in trouble. Unfortunately, there's some folks that just like to argue. They just like to argue. They'll debate things that, again, won't matter a lick in eternity. And unfortunately, Paul seems to be primarily referring to spiritual leaders, Christian leaders. A leader for Christ has to put away a quarrelsome spirit before he'll ever be used of the Lord. Before he'll ever be used of the Lord. A gentle, a humble spirit is essential. Who are we? My first pastor used to make this statement all the time, and it came back to me, a few months ago. He says, after all, folks, we're nothing but big fat zeros with the rim rubbed out. I remember the first time he said that, I had to think about it for a while to figure, what is he talking about? What's left if a zero's got the rim rubbed out? Nothing. But when we start seeing ourselves as nothings, God can use us for something. Oh my, that quarrelsome spirit. A gentle, humble spirit. Pastor, church leader, especially, must see not the benefit, but the absolute of being surrendered to the direction and leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And beloved, pride, that quarrelsome spirit is like building a 20-foot wall. The wall on the border is nothing compared to the wall of pride. Amen. As a barrier to the use of the Holy Spirit of God. Then as we read here, when a quarrelsome spirit is put away, there's the possibility to be used. To be used as that channel of grace that we've been trying to lay out in this series of messages. The gentle person, that meek person, has a heart and a spirit for others. They've got their eyes off of themselves. And they can see the needs of others. That same person is someone that can be taught. Until you rid yourself of that quarrelsome, prideful spirit, it's hard to learn anything. To be taught. Yes, I'm thankful. We have to hasten here. What we see as we close that the believer is to be set apart, sanctified for God. Set apart for God. There's some things that need to go. And I know there's some things that need to go in Jim Turner's life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. You're probably familiar with this. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Right on the heels of that tremendous chapter 11, speaking of all those dear saints of God that it were used in some great way by faith as they believed God. That tremendous hall of witnesses there. Verse 1 of chapter 12 says this, "Wherefore, because of this, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Some things have to go. May well have to go if we're going to serve Christ. Now, last point here. And we're just going to, it's like a summary. The sanctified, the separated believer, that one set apart for God, is usable for God. And as we close, there's some statements I want us to see that Paul gives us here. Just going to read them. What did we find out from verse 15? They study the Word of God. They study. And hallelujah, verse 19 tells us that God knows them. I love that. God knows those that belong to Him. Third, verse 19 tells us that they, those ones, claim the name of Jesus. They claim the name of God. What does it say? Let everyone name it the name of Christ. Do you call yourself a Christian? Live for Him. He'll use you. Fourth, these ones, beloved, are a vessel of honor. Isn't that a tremendous statement? Huh? Oh, to be considered a vessel of honor, something of value for Him. These ones are fit for the Lord's use. He's fit. Means prepared. They're ready to be used of God, prepared unto every good work. And they follow the things of the Lord. What are the things of the Lord? Righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Not all that other that we're to get rid of from our life. And they call on the Lord. Oh my, I'm so thankful. We have that invitation from our God to call unto Him. Call out to Him. He has promised is that He'll hear us. Them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, it says, Paul says. And those ones, Lord help me with this, are gentle. Gentle. Have a gentle spirit. Oh my, we think we've got to be so tough when the Lord wants us to be gentle. This person, beloved, is a usable person of God. God can use him. Once again, please notice the last two verses, verses 25 and 26. This person that's put away all this other, this person that takes to themselves that righteousness and gentleness and peace. And verse 25 says that one, in meekness, notice, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, taken captive by him at his will. I want God to bless my witness. When I'm talking to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, I want the Lord to be involved. I want His Spirit to be present. Beloved, I want to be fit for the Master's use. Usable by Him. a vessel of honor. I'm just trying to go by what Paul says here. A vessel that God values. Huh? Isn't that great? Oh, that it would be our heart's desire. This person is usable. What do you think, folks? Believer, is it your prayer, your desire, your longing to please God with your life? Honor God with your life? To have a life that's valuable to Him? Wow. How badly do we want to be used of the Lord? If we were to put these things today on a scale, doing our own thing or serving the Lord and honoring Him, what's going to win out? Living for God or living for ourselves to please ourselves? Oh my, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that if you love the Lord, if you belong to Him today, you're usable. Huh? We are usable. Yes, we see there's some things that need to be dealt with. But we, beloved, those that name the name of Jesus, can be used of God. Channel of His grace. And beloved, dear one, if you're here today, and in your heart of hearts, you'd have to confess, preacher, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know where I would, if I took my last breath right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Dear friend, I'm so thankful that I can tell you that Jesus,
amen,
Jesus cares about your soul. Cares about you. His desire for you is that you would know Him. That you'd come into that relationship with Him. Receive Him as your Savior, as your Lord. Huh? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to go from this building to say, have that peace, that confidence, God knows me. Huh? As His. Oh my. Please. If the Lord's dealing with your heart, please call out to Him. The Word of God says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Shall have that everlasting life, forgiveness of sin, a new life in Christ. Every person in this room that's saved rejoices in that moment when God saved them. And we would rejoice with you if today was that day for you. Let's stand together. Lord, we're ever so thankful for Your Word, for the Scriptures. And Father, it's this message from the Apostle Paul is pretty direct, pretty blunt concerning things in our lives as even as Christians need to be dealt with. Lord, I pray, I'm asking You in Jesus' name, we just be honest before You. Allow You to just put the searchlight of Your Word upon my heart, every heart in this room. Lord, that we would recognize, acknowledge, and deal with those things that need to be rid, dealt with, purged from our lives to be usable for You. And Lord, of course, as always, we ask You in Jesus' name for those who may be in our midst today that do not have that peace, that hope of eternal life in Christ. Oh, Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, in your goodness, in your mercy, and out of your love, speak to those hearts, even at this very moment. Give them that liberty of heart, liberty of spirit, to just cry out to you, Jesus, save me. Save me from my sins. Make me that new person in Christ. Lord, whatever you do, all that you do, we will be quick. Joyfully give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brother John.
500.
As we sing, dear ones, please just obey the Lord. As always, church, family, this altar is open for whatever the Lord may lay on your heart, needs dealt with. And indeed, dear one, if you're here today and you know you need to be saved, you know you need Christ, come, take this preacher by the hand, say, preacher, I just want to be saved. I want to know where I'll spend eternity. And we'll show you best we can what Jesus has done for you. Amen. As we say, please.
Passing on, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. Love of others, thou art all me. Do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Love of others, thou art all me. Do not pass me by. Let me at the throne of
said I could share this with you, that she came forward this morning. She just wants to see her life rededicated, committed to Christ, to live for Him. So please, you pray for Miss Penny. Is Lily in here? I can't even see. Oh, she's still there. Okay, I think Miss Danette's bringing the kids down. You all can be seated. Lily Evans is going to be baptized this morning, so we're excited about that. And John will lead you in a song or two while we're doing that. You want to go back?
If you would, let's turn to 276. 276, Jesus is all the world to me. And then if you can have a request for me after that, I'd appreciate it. We'll sing the first and last verse.
Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my sin from day to day, without Him I would fall. When I am sad in my home, no other one
I knew that was coming. 275, it is well. 275.
Faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. praise the likeness of his resurrection. Amen.
Dismissed with our chorus for this month, which is He Lives. He Lives, He Lives.
He Lives.